sooner or later, you can bet your life that every Jew in this building is going to say the same thing. He's a little too Jewish for my taste.
Shalom, and welcome to the Two Jewish Radio Show with Rabbi Sam Kohan and friends, a weekly serving of everything Jewish. We'll have a great hour together of news, music, comedy, and conversation. Our guests this morning on Two Jewish are Southern Arizona Fire Captain Scott Laird and Battalion Chief Alan Yalen, discussing the firefighters' trip to Israel and the upcoming visit of Israeli fire officials to Arizona. We'll also have a visit from our Two Jewish expert on the international scene, Tom Price, and our Mavina on Israel, Oshrat Barel. Please email your comments to us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com or visit us on the web at twojewishradio.com. And now, here's Rabbi Sam Kohan and Two Jewish.
Shalom and l'shana tova tika tevu v'techa temu. A good, healthy, new Jewish year, and may you be written and sealed in the Book of Life for 5776 and beyond. I trust that your Rosh Hashanah, your Jewish New Year, was filled with family and friends and brought meaning and beauty to the very first day of the 5776 year. This is always a time of exaltation. That's why they call these the High Holy Days in Jewish tradition, but there's also a certain sense of pressure and tension. We're in the midst of the 10 days of repentance now, the Aseret Yemei Tshuva, when Jews try to right the wrongs we have done in the past year and reconcile with anyone we've injured or offended. It's a challenge to try to heal our actions over the past 12 months. It is perhaps a greater challenge to try to change the habits we've fallen into that lead us to do things of which we are not proud. Our goal during these days of awe is to look honestly at ourselves and to ask God to forgive us those failings we've committed in the last year, and so to become whole. But as the Talmud tells us repeatedly, for sins against God, Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, atones, but for sins against other human beings, the Day of Atonement does not atone until we have made atonement to them personally. God cannot heal the breaches in our relationships. Only we can do that, by going to the people we've wronged and asking them to forgive us. So this is the most important time of the year for us morally, a crucial period of reflection, self-examination, what Israelis call cheshbon hanefesh, taking an accounting of our souls. On Yom Kippur, the fast day of atonement, the holiest day of the whole Jewish year, which begins at sundown this Tuesday night, we commit ourselves to trying to repair our own world through repentance, prayer, and charity, teshuvah, tefillah, utzedakah. The melody that captures the essence of Yom Kippur best is also the only melody people come to temple just to hear, the Kol Nidre, the renunciation of failed vows that begins the night of Yom Kippur. It's the melody that for many people captures the heart of the Jewish experience in just a few moments of music. Here's the great cantor Alberto Mizrahi's rendition of the beginning of Kol Nidre. The beginning of Kol Nidre, sung by cantor Alberto Mizrahi, with an arrangement by Sholem Secunda. Kol Nidre is designed to bring us close to what is holiest within us. At this time of atonement and return, we do well to remember that holiness begins for Jews with personal action, with mitzvot, not simply words or professions of faith. The way to improve the world is by doing acts of goodness, blessing, and courage, not talking about them. Not even with God. That's what we dedicate ourselves to do now, actions that matter and improve the world. Nonetheless, we need to ask God to help us. And that's never more clear than in the Kol Nidre's soaring conclusion. Here's Israeli cantor and Broadway star, past guest of Two Jewish, as Abe Mizrahi was, cantor David Fisher, the end of the Kol Nidre.
Ahoy, 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 ahoy. Ode asar na al nafshato.
You know, we could do a whole show on the Kol Nidre melody, its many interpretations, great stories about Kol Nidre Eve, jokes about Kol Nidre, and so on. But the truth is, the only way we truly appreciate Kol Nidre is to hear it live, in the synagogue, this Tuesday night, the eve of Yom Kippur, in a room filled with fervent prayer, soaring music, and the power of the great Day of Atonement. It's an amazing experience. And it takes place just one night a year, this coming Tuesday night. And all of it is there to bring us to teshuva, repentance, to help us learn how to work to heal injustice and brokenness. Well, when we come back in a few moments, we'll meet our guests this morning, Fire Captain Scott Laird and Battalion Chief Alan Yalen, who'll discuss the Southern Arizona's recent firefighters' trip to Israel and the relationships that were created there, as well as the upcoming Israeli Fire Authorities visit here to Arizona. Learn all about it when we come back in a few moments on Two Jewish.
Everything you ever wanted to know about Judaism but were afraid to ask. Temple Emmanuel's famous Taste of Judaism program, now in its 16th year, offers an exploration of Judaism in 3 2-hour sessions on Jewish spirituality, values, and community, taught by our rabbis. Call 327-4501 for more information and to register today. Taste of Judaism is an exciting opportunity to learn about Jewish culture, history, rituals, and practice. The classes are free and open to all, and we feed you too. We have daytime and evening classes in Central, Northwest, and East Tucson, and this year in Suarita as well. In partnership with the Tucson Hebrew Academy, the whole family can learn at the Taste of Judaism family class. And we're thrilled to offer American Sign Language Interpretation, ASL, for one of the sessions. Remember, there are no fees or obligations, but space is limited and pre-registration is required. Call Mila at 327-4501 or email mila@templeemmanueltucson.org. That's Taste of Judaism, 520-327-4501, a fun way to learn about Judaism. Don't miss it.
Are you or a loved one facing a terminal illness? Casa de la Luz Hospice offers patients and loved ones the support necessary to face the final months of life. Paid for by Medicare and most private insurances, hospice team members provide medical, emotional, and spiritual care in the security and comfort of the patient's home. Casa de la Luz has been a leading provider of hospice care in Tucson since 1998, and today serves more patients in Pima County than any other local hospice provider. The mission of Casa de la Luz Hospice is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Call 544-9890 to learn more about how Casa de la Luz Hospice can help you. That's 544-9890. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
We welcome to Two Jewish our guest this morning, Captain Scott Laird, who's a special ops coordinator and also now a terror liaison officer who is on the firefighter trip to Israel from the Tucson area, and Battalion Chief Alan Yalen, who is with Rincon Valley Fire. Good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Good morning.
So, Scott, you were picked to go on this remarkable journey to Israel in which you interacted, found out how they do not only fire but terror response in Israel. Tell us, first of all, how'd you get so lucky?
Well, our fire chief, Chief Jamie Colley, was one of the original organizers for the trip, and he just got the job at Rincon Valley, and he decided it probably wasn't a good idea for him to go, so he asked if I wanted to go 18 months ahead of time, and I said, absolutely, I'd love to go. I think it's a great, great opportunity. But as the date got closer, I realized what I had volunteered for, and it was a good trip. I'm not a world traveler, but this was a very interesting, good trip.
So this wasn't just a junket. This was really a way to see how the Israeli firefighters and the emergency response people respond to things. How many fire stations do they have? You were in Jerusalem substantially.
Yeah, no, we were all over the country. I think they have over 112 fire stations, and they divided it up into 7 battalions. What happened, I think it was 2010, they had the Carmel fire, which
was huge,
a wildland fire, which they're not normally used to fighting. And during the Carmel fire, there was a prison guards, correction officers, they were going up to evacuate a prison up a hill.
Right.
And in route up there, 36 officers were killed. When the fire overran their bus, 3 firefighters were killed. Of the 3 firefighters, 2 of them were full-time true firefighters, and the third firefighter that was killed was a fire cadet or a explorer, a young kid, 18, 16, 17-year-old kid. Mm. And then, of course, a fire chief was also killed, and we went to that memorial site. And because of that, they totally revamped their fire service. They have one guy in charge of the entire country of Israel Fire Department, and then they divided it up into 7 battalions. And once they've done that, they realized they were lacking in some areas, and they started to retrain. They started moving equipment around because the bigger cities like Tel Aviv, of course, had the most firefighters, had the best equipment, and the outlying areas didn't quite have that. And they started moving stuff around. We went to the training area where they trained all the firefighters in Tel Aviv and get everybody up to the same training level as they go through.
Really interesting. The Carmel fire, of course, was a result of missile attacks coming from Lebanon. We'll talk more about the complications that terror creates in Israel and what we can learn from it here when we come back with Scott Laird and Alan Yalen here on Two Jewish. We welcome Pam and David of Freedom Smoke. So your product, a smokeless way to get off of tobacco, people don't really understand exactly what's wrong with cigarettes, or they think it's the same thing that's wrong with your product. Can you explain the difference?
That's true, Rabbi Kohan. Part of it is the cigarettes themselves, the FDA made them release the ingredients. There's over 3,000 ingredients in cigarettes. There's 4 ingredients in electronic cigarettes. Propylene glycol, vegetable glycerin, flavorings from Flavor Art in Italy, who is who we use, and nicotine itself. Our nicotine is USP hospital grade. It's the finest that you can purchase. Nicotine in and of itself is not harmful to the human body. That's why we have so many doctors referring patients that they just cannot get to quit smoking cigarettes. They send them to us for a much healthier alternative.
And where do people go and how do they find your stuff?
They can go to one of our 3 stores here in Tucson. We've got one at Orange Grove and River, one at Broadway and Swan, and one at 12th and Valencia. Or they can go online to freedomsmokeusa.com.
Thanks very much, and we'll talk next week.
Always a pleasure.
If you have a question, comment, compliment, or criticism, a kvetch or a kvel, please email us at twojewishradio18@gmail.com. That's T-O-O Jewish Radio 18. Or visit our website at twojewishradio.com. You can hear all past and present shows through the website or download us from there or at the Apple iTunes Store as very popular Jewish podcasts. We have less than 14 months now until we elect a new president of these United States. We continue our special election year and more feature, the 2016 Two Jewish Presidential Report, in-depth coverage, unusual stories, the finest opinion on the air as we choose a new leader for our nation. We are now down to 15 Republican candidates for president, 15. And in two debates last week, seven of them said if elected, they would kill the nuclear agreement with Iran. Three said they would honor it. Two said they would put in conditions that would squash the deal. And one urged Congress to stop it. And one, you know, didn't answer. In previous statements, all candidates had essentially opposed the Iran deal. But as it becomes fact, we can see some serious movement, even on the Republican side, towards accepting it. This is interesting, as all the current Republican candidates for president have pretty strong pro-Israel credentials and have been vocal about opposing the Iran deal until now. Of course, actual presidents as opposed to candidates have to deal with practical reality. This demonstrates that the Republican candidates are beginning to realize that. It's fascinating to watch the movement on positions by candidates in every election, even the ones that haven't yet reached the point of people actually doing voting. That was our 2016 presidential election from a Jewish perspective update. We welcome our Mivi non-Israel, Oshrat Barel, head of the Weintraub Israel Center. Boker Tov, Oshrat, Shana Tova, Gmar Chatima Tova.
Toda Rabbi, Boker Tov and Chatima Tova to you, too.
A happy New Year. And it's funny, we don't say a happy Yom Kippur, of course. We say an easy fast, but we also talk about this tshuva that we're entering into. I think Yom Kippur in Israel is extraordinary. It's always powerful wherever you are in the world. But in Israel, it's really remarkable. Because of this one concept, Cheshbon HaNefesh, the accounting of the soul, that I think is really an Israeli interpretation of tshuva, of return and repentance.
I think since in Israel there is no separation between, you know, the state and religious, and so all the organization, the, you know, schools, everything is around the Jewish calendar. So it's all over. So we are using Jewish component, I would say, Jewish terms, Jewish holidays as part of our daily life. And Yom Kippur is a shutdown. Like, there is nothing. Like, even birds are not flying on Yom Kippur. It's like, shake it. And so, and as part of, like, I would say, I will give an example. Like, Coca-Cola used Christmas for something, mm-hmm. and I won't spend a lot of time about this, but people can okay. understand, like in terms of marketing. And
for marketing, right.
So in a I want to make a positive parallel. So a lot of companies and even like, you know, Yoatzim, like all kind of consultant using the Cheshbon Nefesh, the Yom Kippur, because it's a very core Jewish value, I would say, or Jewish
to look
something.
At yourself and keep
yeah,
an account
so
of the soul.
Yes, so Cheshbon Nefesh become like very a Yehudi asovel. So do you understand, right?
Yeah.
So we are always, you know, very critical about ourselves. So it becomes something that Cheshbon Nefesh, it's very symbolize Yom Kippur. It's not just preparing the food for after Yom Kippur or
it's
the white.
It's not just the fast or wearing white clothes or the shofar at the end.
It's not just the Jewish or religion part of Yom Kippur. It's also like, how do I really, really clean my desk, if I would use this term, and preparing for next year, and like in all, not just in terms of my relationship with God or even, but in terms of, it's a good time of the year. It's a beginning of a year in Israel. You know, the Israeli calendar is by the Jewish calendar. So it's really a beginning of the year. And you make a big decision, even when and where will be your next vacation. But but other decisions, you know, like very big, big decision. Where are you going to celebrate Sukkot? With your wife? Family? Oh, no, I'm kidding, of course, but there is a lot of big decision sure. that people, you know,
so
taking the time.
So it's a time to make important decisions in life, not just criticize how you lived the last year and hope to do better, but to...
It's a critical thinking, but it's built, like, it's not just, oh, I did wrong.
Gears.
No, I did wrong and I will change little by little and I will, you know,
make
choose
a concrete
different
change. Make a concrete positive
Bidiuk.
Change. It's a great lesson. It's a great lesson from Israel. It's a great lesson for us here, too.
Nachon.
Thanks, Oshrat.
Toda Rabbi. Toda Rabbi.
Som Kal, an easy fast, and a Gemar Chatima Tova may be sealed in the Book of Life.
Amen.
You and your whole family.
When you're looking to buy or sell your home, you probably want Tucson's best realtor on your side. That realtor is Jill Rich. As real estate values change, it's comforting to know that Jill Rich knows Tucson's real estate landscape. She follows the trends. She knows the neighborhoods.
She even knows how to help you find financing. But most importantly, Jill cares. It doesn't matter if you're looking for a starter home or a castle. It's like having your bubby in the realty business. For sellers, Jill will develop a personal marketing program that'll sell your house fast. There's no one who knows Tucson real estate better. You can reach Jill Rich at Long Realty's River and Campbell office. Call 349-0174. Jill Rich, providing strong representation in a caring way. Call 349-0174.
Is your aging loved one unhappy and having a hard time adjusting to life around them? The TMC Geropsychiatric Center at Handmaker may be able to help. TMC Geropsych specializes in providing short-term, inpatient services for older adults experiencing behavioral health issues. Did you know that most people with depression get better when they seek help? With the right treatment, those with anxiety can overcome and learn to cope with their fears, and individuals with dementia can continue leading quality lives. Our team, led by a geriatric psychiatrist, brings expertise from disciplines across a variety of specialties to ensure your loved one receives the right diagnosis and treatment. For more information about our services, please call 324-4600. The TMC Geropsychiatric Center at Handmaker. Call 324-4600. Let's talk about how we can help.
In this new year, we welcome a randomly recurring feature of Too Jewish, Zen Judaism. In nature, there is no good or bad, better or worse. The wind may blow or not. The flowering branch grows long or short. Do not judge or prefer. Ask only, is it good for the Jews? That was a koan, from the eternal wisdom of Zen Judaism. We welcome our expert on the international Jewish scene, Tom Price. Good morning, Tom.
Good morning, Rabbi.
There had been a huge media storm about the refugee crisis coming from Syria, Iraq, other parts of the Middle East, and North Africa, flooding towards Europe. Biggest refugee crisis since the end of World War II. As Jews, we know what refugee crises are all about. We know what it is to be migrants without a place. Can we explore the origins of this particular crisis, certainly the Syrian civil war, but not only that, and what the various permutations of this are now?
Sure. I think there's a lot of interesting sub-questions here. And first and foremost is, what's generating all these refugees, mostly from the Islamic world? In fact, largely from the Arab world, although not exclusively. As you point out, there are people leaving Afghanistan.
Eritrea, I mean, some places that are not Arab.
Yeah, but the bulk of the numbers of refugees that we've been seeing all the stories about and that Europe is so preoccupied about come from Arab countries, reaching across North Africa and then well into the Middle East and well beyond the Syrian civil war. Although I just read today that the Syrian civil war alone has generated 4 million refugees, which is a huge number.
Tremendous. When I was in southeastern Turkey, as we talked about before, in Şanlıurfa, in February, they calculated there were about 500,000 Syrian refugees in Harran, the next town over, Abraham's town, maybe 10, 15 kilometers from the Syrian border. 500,000 in one camp.
Right. The Turks have shouldered quietly and pretty uncomplainingly a large portion of this burden. And, you know, the Turks have not been welcomed to the European club yet, even though Turkey is partly geographically in Europe.
It always feels to me like Turkey is always going to be a bridesmaid and never a bride for the European Union.
Yeah, although recently I heard a discussion when I was in D.C. for Rosh Hashanah of the inevitability of Turkey joining the European Union, whether it wants to or not. I mean, I'm not sure that's really going to happen. But
maybe in place of Greece sometime. So yeah. Back to the refugees.
So, you know, what causes people to leave their homes, leave behind all they know, all their possessions, everything that's familiar, and seek a new life in a new land? Well, we can go back to Avraham Avinu in the Bible and say that it was his covenant with God that
Lech
caused
lecha.
Him to leave. And he, in a sense, was the first recorded refugee in history. he was running toward something, not really away from something, but you could say that many of these refugees are running towards greater freedom, human dignity, prosperity, better education for their kids, et cetera, et cetera. But I do think it's worth exploring in some detail what they're running from. And I think what they're running from is some combination of the following things: warfare, oppressive regimes, religious extremism, poverty, lack of employment opportunity, lack of mobility, horrible corruption, or some combination of these factors in different percentages, which hold true, first of all, every place that there was an Arab Spring, which we once were all so excited about. And to some extent, through much of the Middle East. And I think we can explore in greater detail the origins of these refugees and the ways in which they're being treated differently in various countries through which they pass when we talk again next week.
Thanks, Tom. We will do so. When we come back on Too Jewish, we'll hear the old Jewish joke of the week. We welcome John Ben Asher, head of school for Tucson Hebrew Academy. Good morning, John.
Good morning, Rabbi Kohan.
Tell us about THA.
THA is an incredible school, rich community, strong educational culture. We're a K-8 program and Tucson's only Jewish day school.
With small classes, really a tremendous level of individual attention.
Absolutely. Our engaging, talented faculty ensure a rigorous, interactive, supporting learning environment for kids.
And those kids go on to succeed academically. This isn't just about Jewish identity.
THA graduates go on to Tucson's best high schools, and they are exceptionally well prepared.
And I've seen some of them go to Ivy League schools, some of the best colleges in the country too, if that's important for parents, which I believe it is.
That's right. THA really paves the way for students. A rich, strong academic foundation, as well as Jewish knowledge, learning, and culture.
And great community. How can people find out more about putting their kids in THA?
You can come visit or find us online, thaaz.org, and give us a call, 529-3888.
That's 529-3888, or visit www.thaaz.org.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reformed, Conservative, and Orthodox, is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
The Temple Emmanuel Pilgrimage Trip to Israel with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan, is set for May 29th to June 9th of 2016. If you want to go on this phenomenal journey to Israel, seeing it all from Tel Aviv to Haifa to Tzfat to the Sea of Galilee to amazing Jerusalem, please email tojewishradio18@gmail.com, TOOJewishRadio18, or call 520-327-4501 for information and an itinerary. It's time now for our old Jewish joke of the week, Jewish humor your Bubby and Zadie knew, brought to you by Too Jewish as a public service. Abe has a pet parrot he is fond of. In fact, this is such a smart bird that he teaches him how to daven, how to pray, and pretty soon the parrot chants the liturgy of the daily services quite beautifully. Abe decides to teach the parrot how to chant all the prayers of the High Holy Days. The parrot is a genius. It learns to sing them, both for Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, perfectly. In fact, it becomes something of a pest, singing High Holy Day melodies all day and night. L'shana tova tikotevu. At Daily Minyan one day, Abe brags to his friends about his parrot, how it chants services magnificently. His friends don't believe him. Yeah, sure, your parrot can chant Hineni. Oh, yeah, your parrot's a chazan, a cantor, right. They ridicule him mercilessly until finally, Abe bets all of them that the parrot indeed can chant. Thousands of dollars end up being wagered. The day of Rosh Hashanah arrives. Abe brings his parrot to temple, sets him up on the bima in front of the congregation, and says, "Okay, parrot, do your stuff." Nothing happens. Not a sound comes out of the parrot's mouth. Abe tries jiggling the bird, cajoling it. "Come on, parrot, sing already." Finally resorts to threatening it, but nothing helps. The parrot remains stone silent. Finally, in humiliation, Abe takes his parrot and leaves the shul in shame, the catcalls of his friends ringing in his red ears. On the way home, Abe gives the parrot what for. "You miserable bag of feathers, I'll murder you, I'll fricassee you, I'll turn you into minced parrot. How could you humiliate me like that?" And the parrot says, "Shah, what are you worried about? Think about the odds we'll get on Yom Kippur." A classic Jewish joke of the week special feature of Two Jewish just for you. You should live and be well and have an easy fast on Yom Kippur. And now a word of Torah. This week we read great Torah portions on Yom Kippur, which explore holiness and commitment to God. In the Reform tradition, in the morning of Yom Kippur, we'll read from the portion of Nitzavim, which affirms that we have the responsibility in this season of the High Holy Days to choose God. In the afternoon, we'll chant from Kiddushim, the Holiness Code, teaching us how to be holy through living sacred and moral lives. But the following Shabbat, after Yom Kippur, we'll chant the next-to-last portion of the whole Torah reading cycle, Ha'azinu, penultimate section of the last book of the Torah, Deuteronomy. Ha'azinu is Moses' last poetic words to the people of Israel before his death, an elaborate instruction, a charge, a prediction of the future for the Israelites. Ha'azinu is both a final look inside the thoughts of the greatest leader our people has ever had, and a fascinating snapshot of what was predicted for the future of the 12 tribes once they arrived in the land of Israel. Ha'azinu is a longish poem, and the powerful poetry includes a description of God's word dropping like a gentle rain on tender grass, a vision of the Lord's justice and faith, complete and flawless. It describes God's love for Israel, bringing forth honey from the very rock to nurture and favor our people. In language that's rich and complex, but also challenging, Moses promises that God brings rewards to those who preserve justice, but punishes those who fail to keep faith with God. In one memorable phrase that has made its way into our prayer book, Moses says, "Ki shem Adonai ekra havu godel Eloheinu," I will proclaim the name of the Lord, ascribing greatness to our God. Accordingly, our role is to both praise God and create justice in the world. Both are important. Both support each other. We praise God and acknowledge that justice comes from the source of morality, and then we work to assure that justice for all is central in our moral life. We must strive not only to be good, but to create goodness in our world. May you be sealed in the Book of Life for a good year, a Gemar Chatima Tova, and at Tzom Kal, an easy fast on Yom Kippur. When we return in a moment on Two Jewish, our guests, Fire Captain Scott Laird and Battalion Chief Alan Yalen, will discuss the Southern Arizona firefighters' trip to Israel, what was learned, what's similar and different, and the relationships that were created, as well as the upcoming Israeli Firefighter Authority's visit to Arizona, all when we come back in a few moments here on Two Jewish.
Hi, Doris. How are you?
Well, Carol, to be honest, now that I'm a little older, I can't get out as much as I'd like. I miss seeing people.
Why don't you come over to my place for lunch on us? The food's delicious. So many choices. And I have a special table with my friends every day. They'd love to have you join us.
Is there much to do there?
There are lots of activities every day. Mondays is Mahjong. Tuesdays, I do yoga. Wednesdays, we go shopping or to the museum or a restaurant. Thursdays, my exercise class. There are book groups, speakers, Shabbos services, concerts, a game room. I'm busier than ever.
Where do you live?
I'm at Handmaker. And the people are great. Please come over for lunch. You'll love it. It's even kosher. Just call me at 322-7035.
Handmaker Jewish Services for the Aging offers the full spectrum of quality senior living and post-hospital rehabilitative care. Call 322-7035. Handmaker for life. 322-7035.
Are you or a loved one facing a terminal illness? Casa de la Luz Hospice offers patients and loved ones the support necessary to face the final months of life. Paid for by Medicare and most private insurances, hospice team members provide medical, emotional, and spiritual care in the security and comfort of the patient's home. Casa de la Luz has been a leading provider of hospice care in Tucson since 1998, and today serves more patients in Pima County than any other local hospice provider. The mission of Casa de la Luz Hospice is to provide superior care to patients and their loved ones so that they may complete their mission on this earth in comfort, dignity, and harmony. Call 544-9890 to learn more about how Casa de la Luz Hospice can help you. That's 544-9890. Casa de la Luz Hospice, because every day counts.
We continue with our Two Jewish Update on news of Jews around the world with commentary.
There's nothing like pouring gasoline on a fire to cause explosions, and unfortunately, a Muslim religious leader is doing so again. A senior Islamic cleric in Jerusalem said that Muslim violence on the Temple Mount is a legitimate form of self-defense. Sheikh Ekrima Sabri, who served as the Palestinian Authority's top clergy member in Jerusalem from 1994 to 2006, last week said that Jewish extremists visiting the contested religious site, that is the Temple Mount, have aggressive intentions and want to harm Al-Aqsa Mosque, to rebuild the temple or pray overtly there. The holiest site in Judaism, and about the third holiest site in Islam, the Temple Mount, which is in Jerusalem's Old City and adjacent to and overlooking the Western Wall, is arguably the most contested religious site in the whole world. Disturbances have occurred there frequently, and were particularly severe last week before Rosh Hashanah, when Israeli security forces arrested 26 Palestinian protesters. 14 Israeli police officers were injured by rocks and firecrackers. Last week, Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu, during a tour of Jerusalem that included the sites of the recent violence, said that Israel is in favor of strictly maintaining the status quo on the Temple Mount, which frankly favors Muslims and Arabs. Under that status quo, the Temple Mount is under the control of the Muslim Waqif, as it has been since 1967. Only Muslims are permitted to pray there, though Jews and Christians can visit, provided it is considered safe, you know, at that moment. The Waqif is under the nominal jurisdiction of the King of Jordan. This extremist, Sabri, contends that religious Jewish aggression on the Temple Mount began under Ariel Sharon as Prime Minister in 2001 and has escalated ever since. He criticized Netanyahu for allowing Agriculture Minister Uri Ariel, a member of the Jewish Home Party, to visit the site, although Ariel did nothing remotely controversial when he was there. Sabri now heads the High Islamic Council on the Temple Mount, which was created, according to its own Facebook page, to protect holy sites and primarily the blessed Al-Aqsa Mosque, which is in no actual danger. To foment stone throwing at Jews trying to pray at the Western Wall, that's just a benefit. And if you can do it on Rosh Hashanah, how much the better. In other Rosh Hashanah news, the media-savvy president of Iran, Hassan Rouhani, sent Rosh Hashanah greetings from his official Twitter account before the start of the new year. May our shared Abrahamic roots deepen respect and bring peace and mutual understanding. L'shana tova, hashtag Rosh Hashanah, Rouhani's tweet said. A Reuters photo was included with a message showing Jews praying in 2006 at a synagogue in Tehran. Rouhani also sent out Rosh Hashanah greetings 2 years ago, but not last year. However, his greetings did not appear in his Farsi language Twitter account. And in the least surprising news of the new year, Ayatollah Khamenei of Iran did not tweet out Rosh Hashanah greetings to anyone. In a move described as symbolic, the municipal government of Iceland's capital city Reykjavik announced a boycott of all Israeli products. Sheesh. The Reykjavik City Council passed the resolution last week saying the municipality would not purchase any Israeli goods as long as the occupation of Palestinian territories continues. In a memo, the council said the city of Reykjavik supports the rights of Palestinians to independence and condemns the Israeli policy of apartheid in the West Bank and Eastern Jerusalem. This resolution does not identify any specific products or companies it plans to boycott. It's not clear whether Reykjavik actually purchases anything manufactured in Israel. Israel's foreign ministry issued a statement in response that condemned the move for no reason or justification except hatred for its own sake. Calls of boycotting the state of Israel are heard. The statement said, "We hope someone in Iceland will come to their senses and end the one-sided blindness fielded against Israel, the only democracy in the Middle East." Clearly, while Israel has done a generally fine job on PR in the United States, particularly in the Congress, it has a long, long way to go in Europe. And our News of the Weird department reports that according to Church of Scotland minister Dr. Gordon Strachan, who makes the claim in a new film entitled And Did Those Feet, Jesus traveled from Israel to England during his life. The movie examines the story of Jesus' supposed visit, which survives in the popular hymn Jerusalem, perhaps the most famous one from England today. Words are by English poet William Blake. Strachan believes it's possible Jesus came to England for his studies, since England was in the forefront of learning 2,000 years ago. Coming this far wasn't that far in the olden days, Strachan told the BBC. The Romans came here at the same time. They found it quite easy. Strachan added that Jesus had plenty of time to do the journey. Little was known about his life before the age of 30. That's certainly true. Turning remote possibility into plausibility. The legend that Jesus came to Britain was popularized by Blake in the early 19th century, made famous as a hymn 100 years later. The first words of that hymn, "And did those feet in ancient times," and so on, are the title of the film, based on a book researched by Strachan, who lectures on history of architecture at Edinburgh University. It is generally suggested that he came to the west of England with his uncle, Joseph Arimathea, who was here for the tin, says Strachan. Jesus needed to go around to learn bits and pieces about ancient wisdom, and the Druids in Britain went back hundreds, perhaps thousands of years. He probably came here to meet the Druids, to share his wisdom and gain theirs. Among the places Jesus is said to have visited are Penzance, Falmouth, and other places in Cornwall, as well as Glastonbury in Somerset, which has particular legends about Jesus. St. Augustine wrote to the Pope to say he discovered a church in Glastonbury built by followers of Jesus, but St. Gildas in the 6th century said it was built by Jesus himself. It's a very ancient church, which went back perhaps to the year 37, you know, or not. No word on whether during this apocryphal visit to Britain, Jesus also visited the Tower of London, Buckingham Palace, laid the cornerstone for St. Paul's Cathedral, or went up in the London Eye. But he probably began the construction of the London Underground. And you thought it was only later that we became wandering Jews. And that's the Two Jewish News of Jews Around the World. We welcome back our guests here on Two Jewish, Battalion Chief Alan Yalin with Rincon Valley Fire and Captain Scott Laird, the Special Ops Coordinator and Terror Liaison Officer, now that he has been trained in that. Scott, you were on the remarkable firefighters trip to Israel, and you told us a little bit about how Israel reoriented itself after the Carmel fire so that it could provide better fire service all around the country. Tell us a little bit about how somebody gets trained as a terror liaison officer, what you learned in Israel in that area.
Well, Rincon Valley didn't have a TLO, but two out of the seven firefighters that went over there were already TLOs. And once we got back to the States, I think three or four of us became TLOs for our department. Northwest didn't have a TLO. They might have had a TLO, but Kyle Canty and Kelly McCoy, they also went to the class. It was a week-long class. Tucson Police Department put it on. Sergeant Robert Branch was the coordinator. Learned a lot of stuff in those 5 days. It was kind of a really, really big eye-opening experience for me, the stuff that I had learned. And especially the trip to Israel, you know, I think that I might have had my head in the sand, but after that trip, my head's out of the sand and I'm up looking around.
You guys went to dinner once in Jerusalem. Tell us that story about what you found out about the cafe you ate in.
Okay, the place we went to was an outdoor street cafe. The closest thing I could relate it to here in Tucson is like on going to have dinner at Fourth Avenue Street Fair,
right?
Along Fourth Avenue, those type of things.
Kind of an outdoor cafe, casual people coming in.
Right. And then the following morning, we went to Jerusalem. Went to one of their fire stations, one of their main stations, and we were doing a training. And the coordinator said, "Hey, let me tell you about a call we had." And I said, "Yeah, all right, okay, that sounds like a good idea." Well, sure enough, the picture that he put up was, "Hey, I think that was the place that we had dinner last night." And sure enough, that was exactly the same place that we had dinner last night. And he goes, "Well, a few months back, we had a call there, and there was a suicide bomber. He detonated, and He killed several people. There was four ways to run, north, south, east, or west. And the poor people that ran to the north, there was another suicide bomber, and he took out even more people. And then the instructor asked me, he goes, Scott, well, where would you stage your fire trucks if you were called to this incident? I go, well, I think the perfect location would be up on Jaffa Street, so you could have your firefighters go down and help out with both scenes. And he goes, Scott, that's exactly where we staged them, and that's where they put a car bomb. Mm.
That doesn't happen so often in southern Arizona.
No, it does not.
Thank God.
Be thankful it doesn't. Yes, absolutely. It does not happen here in the United States. But what I can tell you is 60 miles south of here is that great country of Mexico, and we all know that there are drug cartels, and as safe as we like to think we are, we're pretty dang close to a lot of danger.
And we're told that, you know, of course, I don't want to mention it, but there are targets in this area. There's a big Air Force base, Davis-Monthan, one of the largest in the country. Raytheon, which develops a lot of the technology, missile technology, certainly a potential terrorist target. Is it appropriate for firefighters to be aware of potential terror attacks? It seems like that should have been obvious after 9/11, which is now a long time ago.
As a TLO, we get all sorts of emails about stuff that's going on. Right now, the hot topic across the United States is the attacks on the police officers.
Yeah, crazy stuff.
Yes, you know, Las Vegas this past week have had two.
Mm.
Las Vegas PD has actually changed their policies. They now are putting two officers in every squad car.
So it's never one guy alone.
Not anymore. Not right now. Not until this stuff all cools down.
In traveling to Israel, what do they do differently in terms of how their firefighters work? That must be a very different culture.
Okay, they are all on what we call a 24/48 schedule. They work for 24 hours and then they're off for 2 days. They work for 24 hours and they're off for 2 days. In the event that they're going to leave, go on vacation or something like that, they have to let their supervisors know. In the event that there is a call, they are called back.
Small country, of course.
Yes, very, very small. The fire department, if you need to get a hold of the fire department here in the United States, you call 911, you get police, fire, medical, you get whatever you need. But in Israel, to get the fire department, you dial 102. To get an ambulance, you dial 101. And to get the police, you dial 100.
You've mentioned there were two major fire stations in Jerusalem.
Yes.
The city that has nearly a million people, I think. That seems crazy, doesn't it, to an American?
Yeah, they have two. They had, two main stations and a total of 35 firefighters. Yet, you know, up to four of them could take the day off. And the other unique thing about Jerusalem was not only...
Now, it's made out of stone. Maybe that helps.
Right. And... But a unique thing about Jerusalem, they were talking about the fire department, they also have over 100 bomb techs on call in the event that they get something.
In the exchanges with Israeli firefighters, you got to hang out with them, talk to them, meet them. Are they like firefighters here?
Oh my gosh, you walk into one of their stations, it's just like walking into one of these stations. They're the exact same guys, the exact same people, except they speak a little different. Even every fire station we went to, there was Israelis, and most of them speak English. And a couple of the stations we went to, one of them, there was a guy from Boston after the Boston bombings and stuff like that. He
made Aliyah, he moved to Israel.
He went to Israel and became a firefighter over there, and to have him talk, he talked perfectly good English, of course, with that heavy Boston accent.
Yeah, I'm not
accent.
Sure that's perfectly good English.
It was pretty funny, yeah.
In traveling around, you know, is the equipment comparable? Are we ahead of what Israel supplies?
I would say as far as the fire trucks, they use completely different fire trucks than what we use, man diesel fire trucks, just a different brand. I think their equipment is just as good as ours. I would say ours is probably a little bit better. But if we go to the ambulance part, the ambulances are completely different. I know that our district just bought a new ambulance, a Ford F-450, and I think we paid like $165,000 for it. Now, in Israel, their ambulances are all donated.
Yeah.
They don't buy a single ambulance. They're all donated, and on the doors of the ambulance says who donated it.
Yeah.
And another thing with that.
By the way, Alan would agree with me. That's a very Jewish thing. It's got a plaque on it to show who donated it. That's the Magen David Adom. The,
right.
The
and another thing with
Jewish
the
version of the Red Cross.
And here in the United States, our district, we do both fire and ambulance. But over there, the fire department does not do medical calls. Of course, they'll respond to motor vehicle accidents and stuff like that. But they're not trained as EMTs or paramedics.
So is that just a different philosophy, or is it just the higher level of medical calls because of the terror attacks?
Back to the ambulances. They have EMTs, they have paramedics, but they would have trauma surgeons, they would have doctors, they would have nurses that would work on those ambulances. Here in the United States, you work on an ambulance, you get paid for the 24 hours, whatever the case may be. But in Israel, 85% of the people that work on the ambulances are donating their time.
Wow.
Donating their time. Less than 15% of them are actually paid full-time employees. Another unique thing about the ambulance companies, they all carry these things on their hips. Those were guns.
Yep.
Whereas we don't really do that here.
So you were kind of ambivalent about going to Israel in the first place.
Oh, well, I'll tell
as
you
mentioned.
Let me tell you one little story. My wife dropped me off at the airport. She drove, and I kind of stepped out of the car. Well, she jumped out of the driver's seat, opened up the trunk, put my luggage on the curb, and then she shut my door and drove away. And I'm all, what the heck is going on here? I called her. I go, Jules, what was all that about? She goes, I knew that if you thought about it any longer, you weren't going to get out of the car and you probably wouldn't go. So she drove off. She left me at the airport and drove off.
She really left you at the curb.
Yes.
Are you glad you went?
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's It was a very, very unique trip, and I'm very thankful that I was able to go. And I want to make this perfectly clear. We went over there as seven firefighters from five different departments, but mm-hmm. we came back as seven ambassadors for the country of Israel.
It's an incredible experience, Alan. I'm going to ask you as a Jewish firefighter.
And there are not many of us.
I was going to say, that's not a majority. Tell us a little bit about what all this means to you. We talk about Israel a lot, as Jews, a lot of us have been to Israel. You served in the military yourself.
Absolutely.
Tell us a little bit about, are you excited about the Israeli firefighters coming here?
Yeah, I am excited to show them kind of what we're all about. They get to experience what the American firefighting experience is. They're going to see it at multiple levels, everything from wildland to hazardous materials to special operations. They'll get to kind of see the environment that we're in.
And I should add, there's a really special note, which is whether this is intended, whether it was a gift of God, we call it beshert in Yiddish. It so happens that the Israeli firefighters are going to be at Temple Emanuel the weekend of your daughter's bat mitzvah. So we couldn't have planned this any better if we tried. I would like to take credit for that, but I don't think anybody can. It just kind of came together. A great combination of Jews and firefighters.
Yeah, my daughter, Brianna, is excited about them being there on the Friday night service as she leads the service with you.
And I should add, both of your daughter's projects have involved helping people with fire
yes.
awareness and doing their mitzvah projects. Guys, I want to thank you for a great visit here on Too Jewish. And we'll have those Israeli firefighters on the air when they come. I know they're high up chiefs, but of course it's a small country. So being a high up chief there maybe takes a less critical mass than it might in the United States. I want to thank you both, Scott and Alan, for a great visit here on Too Jewish.
Thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi.
When we come back, we'll hear about next week's guest and get a final musical play out on Too Jewish.
For 100 years, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery has been known for their compassionate commitment to all the families of our community. Known as the most beautiful final resting place in southern Arizona, Evergreen serves all faiths. Their experience conducting Jewish funerals, Reform, Conservative, and Orthodox is second to none. From traditional services to the unique, Evergreen Mortuary and Cemetery offers the best. To speak to a family advisor, call 888-7470, 888-7470.
Thanks for being here with us this morning on Too Jewish with me, Rabbi Sam Kohan. Join us next Sunday at 9. Our guest will be Seth Siegel, the entrepreneur, founder of the Beanstalk Group, author of the new book, Let There Be Water, Israel's Solution for a Water-Starved World. Our playout this morning comes appropriately from the concluding service for Yom Kippur, Ne'ilah, the lovely Sephardic song El Nora Alilah, God Exalted and Awesome, Forgive Our Sins, sung by the Boston Camerata. My friends, have a Shavua Tov, a good week, a Gemar Chatima Tova. May you be sealed in the Book of Life for a good year and an easy fast on Yom Kippur this Tuesday night and Wednesday. Don't forget to go to Temple. And may you also be blessed with Lashana Tova Umetuka, a good and sweet new year of 5776. May it be a year and a week, we pray, of peace.